If you take out your Bible, look at the map in the back, and see the towns that are mentioned here in Acts. Jews came out from Antioch and Iconium, but then, you see, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. And what did they do? They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships. If you look, you see, they made a circle like this. Now they go back over that circle to console, to strengthen, to instruct, and to help all these new Christians and tell them what they've already begun to realize. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You can imagine what ones they were, you know. Just the miracle of walking into a town where nobody ever heard of Jesus Christ, where nobody worshipped the one true God. They heard about Jews, but and to preach there for a month and leave a community. Think of the power of the word that was in them. And now they go back to strengthen, because surely there's been problems. I own a little business with my brother-in-law. Now I'm being honest, my brother-in-law's going crazy. Our income has gone down 40% with this Christian stuff. You know? All this sort of thing would be going on. Children used to doing what they wanted, and now they're under authority. And so forth, you know. And not only that, but I mean our whole way of life. We have a statue in the middle of our piazza of the emperor, and everybody goes by, puts incense in the little brazier that is there to hold it, and honors the emperor. He belongs to the realm of the heavenly beings, and you walk right through there. Last month, there was a hailstorm, and it ruined our crops, and it's because of you. You're disturbing this good order of the universe with this idea that there's one God, and Jesus is the Son of God. And you see? In other words, they face the same problems we do. Is there one true God? Is Jesus Christ the living Son of the eternal God? Is the meaning of life to spend it with God in eternity? You're crazy. Just look. Who agrees with you? And look, we're doing all right. You know, the GNP is starting to balance again. The economy is starting to come back. So what's your problem? Now, how do you convince people? You have to be convinced. And then it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now they must have had a very powerful grace back in those early, early days to face all their relatives and friends and neighbors having disturbed the whole structure by belief in Jesus Christ. If we really believed, we'd disturb this structure too. Because it's founded exactly on the same closed system thinking. Right? Why don't we? Well, there's been, you know, two millennial presence of Christians around, and so long as you isolate them, and they're not so bad, you know. That's where we're going, though, folks. And that's why, you see, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's nice to begin to experience, you know, if you've lived in other parts of the world where Christians are a minority, you begin to have an idea of this. Especially in this world. You know, the early Christians, the charge against them when they were martyred was atheism. Because they would not worship the gods of the establishment. And those are the forces that keep this universe in balance. Just ask any New Ager. And you people, by refusing that and having this other way of life, oh, your morality we admire. We think it's exaggerated, but we admire it, you know. But the rest of it, that's for me, you see. And so that's what they were facing. And that's why Paul and Barnabas went back like good missionaries, you see, and strengthened them. You just don't preach the good news, collect your check, and go. You know, this is work. And it's hard work. And it's dangerous work. And it's getting more and more dangerous even where we live. The gospel, I just wanted to say a word about it. The very last line of the text we have today. Satan has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded me. And then they left out the next line. Rise now, let us go from here. Meaning, to my passion. This is chapter 14. I am going to show the world how much I love the Father. I'm going to go get crucified for the sake of the world. And if you gaze on that cross and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, you will see the love between the Father and the Son. And that's the source of all the power that changed all these people in Iconium and Derbe and Paragon. The love between the Father and the Son. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, you know, that it was by the eternal Spirit that he offered himself to the Father. The eternal Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. But there's an allusion there to the eternal fire that consumed the Holocaust and that temple sacrifice. The fire that consumed Jesus was the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of love. When we're moved by that, we're not so quite disturbed by the difficulties that can happen in our life, and especially the opposition that might happen. It's we will have the grace, but it doesn't hurt to start reflecting on what an odd situation we live in. We think there's a God. I really do think that. And that everything in this world is dependent on God. And that this world has no hope except death for eternity without the saving work of Jesus Christ. And that's why we got to tell everybody. And we have to be faithful to this. Our challenge, of course, is that the culture has dominated the faith. Look at how many Christians don't see anything wrong with abortion. What happened? You see, faith is a way of knowing. And that's what these texts tell us every day.